Good morning, everybody.
Greetings.
This is October 5th, 2020, and we're up to episode 101.
101.
A new century.
It's just amazing. Hey, Kathleen. Yeah, it's triple digits from here on out, baby.
Yeah. Now the next thing is getting to 1,000.
I was just thinking, I don't think we'll get to 1,000.
I mean, it's only been a few months, right?
Yeah. Months.
So a few months, 30 months. That's just 3 years of this.
3 years of this. I don't think we can take it.
Well,
I don't think anybody else can take it.
I mean, I would imagine around episode 412, we'd shift from the pandemic to post-apocalypse. And this would be like broadcast using a ham radio to the people.
Yeah. From the desert, from the desert somewhere.
From some sort of hidden bunker.
Yeah, where we're, you know, eating wood chips and drinking water squeezed out of a cactus.
If you shave the wood chips fine enough, you can fool yourself into thinking it's oatmeal.
Yep. Oh, there we go.
Tip.
And, here, Mark's got the answer.
At 1,000, we will send Mark a lifetime supply of pumpkin spice beverages. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, you've got something to shoot for. I'm still working on getting 20 yards of pumpkin spice dropped in your driveway.
Jesus. Bring it.
Recognizing
I have this new shed that like a bunch of us kind of put together in the backyard of my house. I'm tentatively calling it the Dray, which is a name for a squirrel's nest. I don't want to explain all that, why I might call it that. But I'm still thinking of names for it because it's a nice little spot in case you're wondering why the background looks different and fancier.
I still like Shetty, but you like changing names. So
Shetty was its nickname. It's like the way you call like a pre-born baby puppy or some kind of thing. And then you're like, well, I guess I need to come up with a real name. Anyways, I don't want to talk about my awesome office.
We could do a whole episode on your awesome office.
On decorating tips.
Decorating tips my for tiny career. Houses. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah.
The art plus light in your new office plus your hat looks a little like a dark colored pontiff hat. I could see that. I haven't got my lighting set up yet, so my face isn't as glowy as it should be. Anyways, we should probably introduce ourselves before we get off track even further.
I was going to say, we're pretty far off already, but yeah, I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing.
I'm Mark Van Steenwyck. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
Well, And hi, everybody. This has been a really enthusiastic greeting. I really appreciate that for a Monday morning. And so today, you know, it's just I was thinking about this. It's just too bad that nothing new ever happens anymore, because it makes it really hard to figure out stuff to talk about.
I know. It's like we're in the middle of the Roosevelt administration. I don't even know when they're. Yeah. What's the most boring presidency in the modern era?
Calvin Coolidge.
What about Grover Cleveland? No, he slept around and had children out of wedlock and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, Calvin Coolidge just never spoke.
There we go. This is the most boring presidency since Calvin Coolidge.
So today we're talking about our fearless leaders getting COVID and giving it to everybody in the White House and the surrounding area, which, you know, as I wrote about the other day, was bound to happen given the way everybody's behaving. This is the thing that people still don't seem to understand about this illness. Everybody's like, well, it's fine. You know, I don't know anybody in my small town that has it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that line. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's fine until it is not fine. And then it's really not fine. Right. So, you know, everybody in Northwest Minnesota and North Dakota was just being a big COVID baby and just like, this is okay, no problem. You know, North Dakota is about to run out of hospital beds right now. Wisconsin is running out of hospital beds because, you know, everything was fine until it is not fine. So that's what happened to the White House. And now everything is not fine in the White House. And people are freaking out and suddenly wearing masks and dropping like flies, and including Mr. Dump himself.
And you know, there probably would have been, if this were back during the Obama administration, in the before times, there would be conspiracy theories about it, but not like this. I mean, we've been fed such steady, steaming pile of disinformation, which is, so everybody's got their conspiracy theory. Yeah. So apparently QAnon, everyone's favorite conspiracy theory, they're speculating that this is all staged by Trump because he's sending secret messages to, like, this is like some sort of like, he needs to go into hiding from the deep state and he's sending coded messages, like that kind of thing. I'm like, that's okay. Astonishing.
Cool. Actually, Siri's got one of those messages from the robot birds.
Really?
The other day. Yeah, she did. She posted it on Facebook, but still, it's a secret message. Yeah, maybe she'll reveal it if she wants to on the show. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing that really struck me. So I woke up and, you know, I got this thing where I kind of read in bed for a little bit when I wake up, especially when it's, you know, 4:35 in the morning. You know, I see Trump's got COVID. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then I immediately, as soon as I get on the computer, the first thing I then see is all of these people that don't believe it. I mean, like thousands and thousands of people. I did something that I rarely do because I was so stunned by this, which was to check Twitter. And yeah, it was just like, one thing after another, this is fake. He doesn't really have it. This is all to get attention. I mean, it really is remarkable how we have now, as you said, been fed so much misinformation that nobody believes anything anymore, which is highly problematic.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen like progressives or leftists or liberals, people center or center left, saying it's a hoax to get sympathy, to take the sting off of his, what was happening before this?
The debate performance, the Proud Boys thing, you know, Melania's tape where she's saying fuck Christmas, you know, that all came out at the end of last week. And so now, right, this is to garner sympathy and get everybody to forget about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, given all the crap that we've been sold about everything, it's like not, you know, it's not unreasonable, which, again, building off of one of the things we were talking about last week in terms of that we're now in this reality TV show, I mean, that makes sense, right? That's always what's happening on reality TV shows. You're always wondering, like, what's really going on? Is this really happening? Does this person really like that person? You know, you just don't know. Find out next time. And that was very fascinating.
And it's interesting. Like, I feel like one of the mistakes a lot of people make when things happen that of political import is to assume that it has to be premeditated or planned. That the only way you can have systems or design is by planning, which in reality, it's like all you have to do is be a good opportunist, which to me, Trump is not a good planner. If he's good at anything business-wise, he's an opportunist. Really, like, immoral, bad opportunist. And so with this COVID thing, it's not, you don't need a conspiracy theory because he's good at spin.
Right.
Spin this whatever he wants.
Yeah.
If he dies, he's probably like Pence can do something with it. If he suffers horribly and soldiers on, he can blame it on liberals or China. If it's light and he goes past, he said, see, liberals are making a mountain out of it. He can do it. He can spin it all the ways he wants. And
right.
So this is why I get confused, why people have like desired outcomes for this. Like hope he dies, hope he doesn't die, but he's like made crippled by the somehow, like all these things, like besides the vengeance piece, which is understandable. Like I don't see any good reason to like hope for a particular outcome with his aim. Yeah. Because it can be
well, strong. and to do a little preview for tomorrow, we're going to do a whole episode on the issue of prayer in relation to this, because there has been so much bad theology that it's going to take a whole episode. But anyway, let's get back. We got some good comments.
So. Any new White House staffers infected today? The latest I heard is Kellyanne Conway's daughter has it. So it's already going
really?
White House staffers to their families.
Oh my God, that poor girl.
Yeah. And isn't she trying to emancipate herself from her mother?
Yeah. So she sucks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Earlier series wrote, people who are not in Trump cult would trade for boring. I would love a boring presidency right now. Yeah. Not only both domestic and foreign, like I want everyone to think it's boring. That'd be great. Kathleen writes, I feel awful about this, but when I saw the picture of him waving from the COVID motorcade, I noticed how short his fingers are. That's the one physical trait he feels self-conscious about.
Don't feel awful about that, Kathleen.
No, like you'd think it'd be his hair that he's self-conscious about, but it is not.
No.
The taxes.
Yeah. Not
weak for the president, but he's able to, again, he's an opportunistic spinner. Gus is giving us a Calvin Coolidge story. There's a story, perhaps apocryphal, about Calvin Coolidge once being told by a man that his friend bet him he couldn't get Coolidge to say three words to him. Apparently his response was, you lose.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that joke? That joke is literally decades old. My mom told me that joke when I was a little kid, and she had heard it decades before that.
When she was a little kid.
Yeah.
And her mother, when she was a kid, it goes back.
No, because that was before Calvin Coolidge.
Goes back to the 1700s, really.
At which point it was a Nostradamus prophecy.
Yeah, it's right there with the rise of Hitler. It's right there with Nostradamus' greatest hits. Ceres writes, we are in a collective abusive relationship. We are not sure how to discern truth, which sucks. Yeah, we have a narcissistic abusive president who's like, everything that happens, whether he caused it or not, is our fault.
Yeah, I think, Ceres, this I've seen you comment about this. I've seen a lot of other people comment about this. I actually think this is one of the most sort of prescient observations about what's going on, right? Is that, you know, America is now in this abusive relationship with this person and his minions and whole apparatus. And, you know, and it's amazing to me they just keep finding these people, right? I mean, what's her name is the press secretary. Then there was this guy who I'd never heard of on CNN, who's some, you know, assistant press secretary or something. And he's a total lunatic, you know, is just screaming about all this stuff. And, you know, then you've got Donald Trump's girlfriend who, you know, I caught 5 seconds of her at the Republican convention and I like felt like running for shelter. I mean, I just said, these people are just coming out of the woodwork, one crazy narcissist after another, who, all they pitch is, we're great. It's your fault.
Yeah.
And that's the message over and over and over again. And yeah. And then after a while, you start to, if not directly believe that, at least buy into the dynamic. And I think it's really important to recognize that, because it's very painful and horrible, and certainly totally unhealthy and unhelpful for our society.
Weird to even imagine anymore having a president who won't just stop talking.
Yeah.
Bobby writes this. I'm going to try my best to speak poetically here. And the life of the ebony clock went out with that of the last of the gay, and the flames of the tripods expired, and darkness and decay and the red death held illimitable dominion over all. Did you read the LA Times op-ed, When Life Imitates Art, referring to the Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe? I did not read that, but I'm always happy to have some Poe injected in my life.
Yeah, authors.
Yeah. You know, one question I have, like, I'm wondering what you think about this, Dan. I've noticed, like, Trump always seems a little bit more willing than this Republican Senate to push for stimulus money. Now, of course, it skews towards the rich. But there is this part of Trump that wants to be seen as the great benefactor. It's why his signature on every little thing instead of the IRS head signature on stuff. And right. So there's this weird way in which his narcissism I don't want to overstate this at all, but sometimes works more for our benefit than it otherwise would. And so if there's any kind of possibility here, it's going to be in that. Maybe he thinks, I had COVID, and so I'm going to look like the great survivor who becomes the great benefactor, like out of his own desire for narcissistic self-elevation. Maybe something good could come out of this. Maybe. Not entirely, just one small sliver of good.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, narcissists often either are or want to appear to be nice to other people. I mean, being a narcissist doesn't mean you're not nice to other people or you don't want to help
others. Being nice to other people.
What?
There's benefits to being nice to other people.
Well, yeah, but and that's the thing, is it always, reflects back to, aren't I nice to other people, right? And then it always then becomes about me. And of course, with Trump, it's also, almost always a sham, right? You think about Trump steaks, Trump wine, Trump college, Trump, this charity that was supposed to be giving away all this money that was just spending it on his, suits and Melania's haircuts. And so it's often a total sham. But, there are a lot of people who are in the Trump cult that feel like and have specific examples of how Trump has been very, very nice to them. It's there's a huge part of that with him that he we have seen this, I think, often with whether it's the stimulus or in other things where he or the GOP will stake out this very draconian position, like, no, we're not going to do this, we're not going to help anybody. And, and then they'll start arguing about that. And after a little while, Trump will suddenly show up and go, oh, no, I'll do a little bit of that. Right. Because then that makes him seem nice, relative to this other thing. And he doesn't really want to be nice, but it does have that effect when he then gives in a little bit of everybody going, well, see, Trump is great. He really does care about people. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of his MO for sure. I've noticed that multiple times over the last number of years.
And it's usually one, the loss of nuance when you want to see him as the great enemy, like people not being able to recognize that because somehow they think that reflects upon him in a positive light, which it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's like, let's, you know, again, just to go for the Hitler moment. I mean, he was really nice to his grandkids, right? Yeah. And he was a vegetarian. So you can still be an evil dick and be nice to your grandkids and be a vegetarian.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the thing is that evil people that rise to power have a following. I mean, there are a lot of people that they are nice to. And, you know, it's just that they also always need people that they are really not nice to. And again, their niceness is always at the service of their own aggrandizement. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the key issue.
Some more comments. Bobby, yeah, sharing the link to the quote from earlier.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's from just 2 days ago. So yeah. Donald Trump, coronavirus, Rose Garden, Edgar Allan Poe. I'm sure you can Google Edgar Allan Poe, Trump, LA Times. You'll find it. Yeah. Mark writes, we're great. And if you aren't, it's all your fault. Is the underlying narrative of neoliberalism that pervades, quote unquote, developed nations. Yeah. I think neoliberalism as a system has a narcissistic quality, to be sure, if you can assign psychological states to systems or nations, for sure.
Well, and it's also the underlying narrative of imperial Christianity and white supremacy,
which is where neoliberal learned it from. Remember that 80s commercial about the dad who finds the stash of pot under his kid's bed?
Kid walks, not really.
It's one of my favorite. He walks into the room and the father's like, where did you learn about this? Where did you get this? And the kid's like, from you, all right. I learned it from watching you. And then the slogan is, parents who would do drugs have children who do drugs. You know. So this is what the relationship between Christian imperialism and neoliberalism is. It's like all of the bad habits that we have today, we learn from an imperial Christianity. Pretty much. So there's now a history lesson on 80s pop cultural.
There you go.
Wrapped in this.
Yeah.
Ceres writes, narcissists are nice, buying people's loyalty to other people for their own benefit, yet they can't be kind and empowering. That's how abusers get away with crap.
Right. In a heterosexual relationship, I mean, the guy who ends up being this horrible abuser, I mean, starts out being really nice. You know, his first move is not to be terrible. You know, they're very nice and very, you know, seductive and very complimentary and seemingly caring. And, you know, I recently saw this great little meme about this, about narcissists. And it was this funny little, you know, kind of a cross between like Yoda and a little chipmunk or something looking figure. And it said, narcissists in public. And the thing looks like really cute and cuddly and happy. And you're just like, oh, this thing is so lovely, you know. And then the next panel was narcissists at home. And this thing is like, you know, turned into this like scary little monster that's going to, you know, eat you. And I thought that was really great, because that's a lot what happens. And so they seem really terrific, and but then they're not.
They're not. Guess right. Have you seen the thing about Donald J. Trump State Park in New York? He had a failed golf course that he overvalued and donated to the state. It's just acres of unusable overgrowth. There's something very metaphoric about.
Yeah, that's perfect. I have not heard about that, but that's great. You know. And yeah, I mean, people who have done business with him over and over and over again have that exact same experience. You know, it all starts off great. You know, you're going to get rich. You're going to have this awesome place. It's going to be wonderful. You know, the Trump name is going to make you billions. And then after a little while, it just goes to shit. And, you know, people are left in debt. you know, nobody makes anything. Yeah, you're left with some overused, unusable land. That's basically, you know, you're left with 200,000 dead people and a wrecked country. Yeah, it's just, it's all part of the package.
Karen writes, love bombing is part of the narcissistic method.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it just, you know, and if you can hide the negativity for a long time, right? And this is why, you know, I think one of the reasons why these people keep wanting to write these tell-all books, or this woman, you know, want to tape Melania and expose that, because up front, it always looks great. Look, if you read Trump's tweets, some of them, many of them are like, we love you all, you're great, you know, these people are brilliant, everything's wonderful. They're very positive, outwardly on the face of them. You know, and then behind the scenes, it's that little creature, you know, until you cross them, right? Or until they don't get what they want. And then that's when they, you know, turn on a dime into this sort of psychotic monster.
Jeremy writes, oh, it's his incredibly huge generosity that led to his $750 tax bill.
Right, exactly.
That's one of those things that is universally along the right, considered fake news.
Yeah.
Except for the things like, well, it was legal. You can't blame someone for trying to take advantage of the system.
Right.
I don't even know what to do with that. Yeah. Sirius writes, evil people use fawning as a weapon. Unfortunately, white American culture uses fawning, niceness, and catharsis in their social relations in general, which makes loving and joyful relationships hard to have.
Yeah,
there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot baked into that statement.
Yes, that's really good.
About, you know, and this is where it's helpful to for me to think about Trump not only as a cause of things, but also a symptom of things. In some ways, he's a mirror of a lot of our worst cultural habits. And this is how the ways that we express love in our society are generally conditioned to. It's exactly how you describe here. It's this sort of, we equate niceness with kindness. I like talking about that all the time, which is not the same thing. Kindness and niceness are not the same things. Politeness and goodness are not the same things. And then whenever we fuck up with someone, we have like every romantic movie there, things go fall apart. And if you're a rational person in that moment, you might think maybe these people shouldn't be together. But no, they have this cathartic moment where they come together and their relationship is stronger than ever. And so this sort of falling in love, abundant stage, breakup, disillusion, and then this cathartic coming together where they realize that each other's soulmates is such a horrible setup for how relationships should not usually function.
Right. Yeah, and a central tenet really to whiteness, right, is this I want to say just incredibly false sense of what it means to be a human being in the world. Yes. And so you see all the time in social relationships that, you know, as soon as there's any kind of a problem or any kind of an issue or anything that has to be dealt with, you know, relationships just immediately disintegrate, right? And people are, you know, throw each other away all the time. Because they cannot tolerate any sort of real self-reflection, you know, and that is something that really is a product of this kind of narcissistic fragility that runs throughout our entire culture, you know, and people talk a lot about, you know, well, people can't hold each other accountable, right? You hear this all the time. It's an in phrase these last decade or so. Well, of course not. I mean, if you can't really going on, if you can't really talk about your real feelings, your impact on another person, their impact on you, you know, if it's all just this, you know, fragile surface thing, Well, yeah, how could you possibly hold anybody accountable for anything? I mean, it can't work.
And now the spin is that Biden can't be empathetic about COVID because he didn't get it. I haven't heard that, but it makes sense. And now that you said that, it's like, right, Trump is going to be like, I feel your pain. I am one of you. I alone understand what's at stake.
Right.
Follow me into the fray. And then he can do whatever he wants because he says, look, I'm doing what's best for the American people. I, too, knocked on the door of death. And death did not answer. Like that kind of BS.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what, you know, I come back to what you said earlier, Mark, about the sort of problem of hoping for any particular outcome without examining the entire nature of the system that we're in. Because, yeah, anything can get spun any way that is positive for this administration. And projected then the negativity projected on the other. And so without understanding the entire dynamic of what is going on here, it's simply a house of mirrors that you can't get out of. And I think that's one of the things that's been very frustrating to me over these last few years is so few people seem to really understand that. And I think part of it from the media point of view is that you just make money endlessly spinning and endlessly being in the house of mirrors. You're not really trying to fix anything. And that's very unfortunate for all of us.
Unfortunately, with my new shed, the trash people are right on the other side of the wall. So if you hear that, that's what that is. I don't know how loud that's coming through. Sirius writes, that is why sensing joy and pleasure is difficult to recognize, which makes it hard to challenge abuse when you ever say to a narcissist that the experience of the relationship is not pleasurable and healing.
Yes.
Great comment. And yes, yeah. I think there's so much about, and this, and a lot of this, again, we need to lay at the feet of Christian imperialism. The way we've inherited Christianity as one of self-sacrifice instead of any sort of self-fulfillment. We pit those against each other, which it's amazing how Jesus did not, by the way, pit those against each other.
Right.
He talked about being fulfillment and life eternal, life abundant, and then also
more wine.
And then also taking up the cross. And he wasn't taking up the cross in and of itself as the goal. He did it for the joy set before him, which again is about pleasure and believing in something greater. And we fucked that up. A couple last comments because we're past time.
Yep, we're past time.
Dorinda writes, checking in a medical appointment this morning, I was told to be an intake person, all this COVID is not so bad, really. Went on to ask if I personally knew anyone that got it. After I said yes and told her some had died, her response, I bet they had pre-existing conditions. Only 2% died.
Oh my God.
In heaven. I thanked her for declaring me dispensable. I refrained from asking her about, I'm sure, her president. So upset they do walk among us, even in our hospitals. That's incredibly disconcerting. Putting your life into the hands of others and they're treating you like
that. That is horrible. I'm so sorry. I would.
Mitigated crap. I'm sorry.
Oh,
final word from Mark, and then we're going to see y'all tomorrow. I'm infuriated by the politicians and White House staff making use of the very best, most expensive medical care in the world, which is being paid for by taxpayers, while the rest of us are expected to go bankrupt to pay for any level of medical care.
Yeah. Amen.
In 2 hours, I'm going to the dentist, and I have to pay $800 out of pocket just to get stuff pulled out of my head or get cavities filled. Like that's not even like the good stuff where they put new things in. Because you know,
yeah,
sort of system.
Yeah. All right. Well, tomorrow, prayer. What should we pray for? I'm excited about this one because I'm just so pissed at all the bad theology I've been seeing.
Yeah.
But anyway, great to hear from all of you. Thanks for watching, listening, tuning in. See you tomorrow.